Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T and myself, Wole. And we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out. What's going on, Will T?
Hello, my friend.
Oh, you're going to see you're back.
Nah,
see,
I'm just
joking. Because it's two dark-skinned dudes. Now he's going back to being, he's going back to being an African. I actually want to be more specific. I don't want to just say African. He wants to be a Nigerian. That's what I want to just say African. I want to go with the whole thing.
You want to pick out a country instead of the continent.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like when people say the blacks. You know, I want it to be authentic. Right. I don't want it just to be just generalizing. You know what I'm saying? Africans, no. You don't want to, you have your voices West African. You know what I'm saying? Niger style. I see what you're going there, bro. I see it.
I hear you, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, it's been cool, been dope. A lot of sports. I didn't get a chance to. I've been meaning to watch the Charlo fight.
You didn't get a chance to watch the fight?
Yeah, I will. Man. I watched the replay. I heard he was impressive. What else, man? There's a lot going on. NBA playoffs. Forgot the lottery was on. The lottery's gonna go down. In halftime or
no? It's about to go on right now. Yeah. In a couple of minutes.
Exactly. So, which I'm not big into the lottery. I care about the draft. The whole lottery display is nothing to me.
I don't care about the draft really. I mean, well, I care about the result. I don't care to watch it.
Yeah, I get you.
I don't care to watch. Just like I have a buddy. He is obsessed with watching the NFL draft. Like, you got it on? No, I don't. I don't care to watch that.
I like the.
It's not good TV to me.
I feel you.
No, I mean, because what are they doing? They're calling a bunch of names. You know, they're experts who are pretending to say, "Hey, I've scouted this guy. I know what's going on.
Know the deal." Yeah, I'm with you. I get that. NFL draft, I like just because I like the NFL draft. I won't lie. I'm not into it heavily. Like the first two rounds, I'm only down for the first two rounds. Everything else, unless as a college player that I'm kind of want to see where that player may land, that's about it. You know what I mean? But that's it.
Yeah, that's what a cell phone's for.
You mean watching? No, I don't need to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about like sitting? No, I can watch the first two rounds. I can watch the first round. Second round is kind of that's a little long.
Yeah, I don't know.
I gotta be bored not doing anything. No, I'm not gonna delegate my time for the second round. Though, I'll tell you that much. I'll do it for the first round though. I ain't gonna lie. I'll wait for the team I'm rooting for. I'll wait for that pick. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
Yep, get those clicks up. Get that money coming in.
Get that money. That young moolah, baby. Go ahead,
this
bro.
Show will be. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options of local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debate.
My man,
let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
My man, go right. That's what I'm talking about, man. Like, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the newly announced Washington Commanders schedule at 8:20. We'll have Swill from the Spare Room Sesh podcast on the show to talk about the Washington Capitals being eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs. At 8:35, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, and Western Conference Finals going down. Tonight is the Eastern Conference Finals, and tomorrow night is the Western Conference Finals. And at 8:50 in our segment HBCU Corner, we have a pre-tape interview with Delaware State University star infielder Trey Page. And finally, we have an interview with lightweight boxer and DC's own Anthony Peterson. He is part of the Beltway Battles Round 2 boxing event, which takes place Saturday, May 28th. All right, but first, I'm going to read off mention the Washington Commanders schedule. I'm going to read off the schedule. And we're going to vibe it, all right? We're going to break it down. Then we're going to go back, and we're going to look at what we think this team's record is going to be. Non-biased, no hate, just actually looking at the team. Nobody, no faith, no fan, no fandom on this side. Just a non-biased
okay
breakdown, right?
Sounds good to me.
All right, cool. All right, here we go. Week one, they have the Jaguars. Week two, they got the Lions. Week three,
loss.
They got the Eagles.
Loss.
Week four, they got the Cowboys.
Loss.
Week five, they got the Titans.
Win.
Week six, okay, they got the Bears.
Win.
Week eight, they got the Packers.
Loss.
Week eight, they have the Colts.
Loss.
Week nine, they have the Vikings.
Win.
Week 10, they got the Eagles.
Win.
Week 20, they have... Week 11, excuse me, they have the Texans. Thank you, my man.
Win.
Week 12, what am I talking about? I'm looking at dates. Week 12, they have the Falcons.
Win.
Ray's going to hate you. Week 13, they have the Giants.
Loss.
They have a bye. Then they have week 15, they have the Giants. The Giants at home. I should have mentioned home in a way to make this easier for you, too.
Win.
All right. Week 16, they have the Niners.
Loss.
All right. Week 17, and the Niners on the road. And week 17 against the Browns at home.
Loss.
All right. And week 18, they have the Cowboys at FedEx.
Loss.
All right. So I'm gonna do my record. This is where I'm going now. So now I'm going to entertain it.
Oh, because it's important because you're doing it.
Dude, because I'm going to do it because I didn't want you to name them all. I said, let me read them all. You was premature. Can we premature out here, bruh?
Listen, I just wanted to bring a higher entertainment value than you just reading off the schedule.
All right. I'm going to read on it. I get it. All right, Jaguars. I actually think the Jaguars game is going to be pretty tough. I think they have a better coach in Doug Peterson. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. It's like, I think a lot of fans are looking at this game like, oh, it's the Jaguars. But I think this team is talented. The Jaguars have a quarterback to me that's one of the best quarterbacks I've seen come out of the draft. I think he was miscoached by Urban Meyer. But I think coming into the season, he'll be a stronger quarterback. But with that being said, I think he will have his better. I think since this game's at home, I'm going to give Washington the benefit of the doubt and give this game to Washington. So I have Washington go 1-0.
Okay.
All right. I think the Lions, they beat the Lions. They're 2-0. Lions are 2-0. The Eagles are a tough game because I think with the Eagles possess within the run game with the mobile quarterback, that typically gets Washington issues. This game is in – I'll give them 3-0. I'll give them 3-0 because I think it's at home. Cowboys.
But you're not a homer.
No, you'll see me. The Cowboys game is in Texas. They're losing to the Cowboys in Texas. Not a homer. That's the Cowboys. See, this is the real one. Like, there's no loss, whatever. I'm breaking down football right now, bro.
We're breaking down something that
we can't really tell. All right. The Titans.
That's why I said it's
you
just
said the Titans.
Win loss.
You said the Titans. The Titans, like, I can't even guarantee. They got King Henry. I'm saying that's 3-2.
He's not the same.
3-2.
He's not the same.
You know, the Bears. I got to beat the Bears. 4-2. Packers. 4-3, blue in the Packers, right? Ideally, they should look. Though I will say this, though, if you're a Washington fan, they typically do well against Aaron Rodgers. The Colts in Indy, and that's a tough one. I'm not going to lie, that's a tough one. Colts defense is pretty good. Got a better quarterback. Let's go 4-4. So 4-4. The Vikings, Kirk Cousins comes back to FedEx. Game's too much. Kirk Cousins is in pressure. Nah, 5-4. I give Washington that game. 5-4.
That sound in the background you actually hear is that's Wole actually writing down.
Yeah, I'm writing this down, folks.
Because
I'm
this is that important.
It's right that important. I want to make sure you folks know that I'm being real, keeping the buck with y'all.
Okay.
All right. The Eagles. The game is, you know, in Philadelphia. It's a tough division game, man. I got them 5-5. Texans. I haven't been on the road. Gotta beat the Texans 6-5. The Falcons haven't beaten the Falcons, so they're seven and five right now. The Giants, not a strong team. Got them going 8-5. They beat the Giants twice last season. The Giants ain't that much better. 8-5. Giants again have 9-5. Wow, this is amazing. I actually have 9-5. Didn't think I have 9-5. The Niners, they're losing the Niners. 9-6. The Browns. Deshaun Watson back. That's a tough game. Good defense. Talented squad for real. 9-7. Cowboys, they win that one. I'm going 10-7.
Okay.
10-7. And that non-fandom. Because you've seen me do fandom before. Fandom, what did I used to do, Will T, with my fandom? Undefeated! That used to be my fandom. So I have them going 9-7.
You mean 10-7.
I'm sorry, 10-7. Excuse me, 10-7. Which I think that is feasible. But again, if you're a Will T's camp, Will, without even going looking at the record and doing what I just did, what do you think the record will be? Without even doing, would it be like the norm, 7 wins?
Yes, I think very much 7 to 8 wins. If you had to ask me right now today, not being able to see how any of the guys look on the field, not knowing if anything will change from a schematic perspective,
facts, and all facts,
injuries or anything like that. I mean, what has this team shown you over the years? That they are a average to below average team?
Yeah, they're average. To me, I think they're an average team. I don't think below average. Well, no, they are below average.
They are below average.
Yeah, you're right. The regime under, like, since, yeah, you're right. They're below average.
Yeah.
That's all they can prove. No, you're right. And I think that's one thing that I feel like the fans listening to this show, they have to understand when they throw out these records like 11-6, or we should be much better. Like, what do you have? The only thing that you have to say that you should be better, to be honest with you, isn't on the product of the field. It's because maybe your schedule's a little easier than it was last year.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you can say that you're better. But you can't really, in terms of what you're talking about, the actual product, the players, are you that much better? Your schedule's easier.
No, I would argue no.
Yeah. I mean, the schedule's easier. You have a better player at quarterback. Okay, arguably better than Taylor Heineke.
Okay, well, that's hypothetical, which I hate to work in the area of hypothetical. Yeah. Well, that's hypothetical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz has returns and looks somewhat like the quarterback who took Philadelphia to the Super Bowl before he got injured, right?
Yeah.
Josh Dotson.
Dotson.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the other bus wide receiver who was here. I shouldn't have called him a bus,
but
a guy who didn't live up to the potential or what people thought he would produce.
Yeah, it's regime to help him out either. But go ahead.
Jahan Dotson. Let's say he has an accelerated learning curve and he's almost a thousand yard receiver. Let's say Curtis Samuel comes back and establishes himself as being a weapon, and Logan Thomas comes back
from his injury
and starts to, you know, and he starts to go on that curve that, you know, starts to accelerate his development
as a tight end
and he. The guy who averages maybe 5 or 6 catches a game.
Right? Yeah.
That's your best case scenario. And I still don't believe you would be better than Dallas. I don't believe you would be better than Philadelphia.
I think that's false. Now, this is the reason why I'll say that. If Carson is close to being Carson, this is why we're going to be real. Like, and this is what I'm talking about. You're 7-10 with a bad quarterback who's so limited. 7-10 with a limited quarterback.
Okay.
Your players are going to be better if your quarterback's even remotely better than what your quarterback is. Because, again, you as an individual who watch football, if your quarterback can't do certain things, it's easier for defenses to adjust to, right? You like Antonio Gibson. You actually like him. I'm not the biggest fan. You like him, right?
I like his strong word.
Yeah.
I think he has the potential to end up somewhere in the top 10 in rushing.
Okay. So, all right, so... Obviously, having a quarterback like Taylor Heineke makes it a little bit more difficult for him to be effective, right?
It does.
All right. So now that's if he is to your point, you don't even need all those caveats. You just need one.
Okay.
You need that quarterback to look good enough.
But he hasn't.
That's not what I'm saying. I agree with you. This is my point. I'm just talking about what you were listing.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah.
You
I'm just saying, and that's a best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario. That's the best case scenario. If he looks close to the Eagles quarterback, like close, you're 10 times better. Like to me, you're 10 times better. You win football games with this easy schedule. I think you're good enough to beat. Because again, like if you looked at what the Cowboys lost, they lost a lot. They lost a lot. The players they let walk out that building, they're worse than they were last year. They're not better. They're worse. The Eagles, you could say adding AJ Brown, but again, if we're gonna be fair, right? We're gonna be totally fair. Did you watch the last playoff game for the Philadelphia Eagles against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah,
he's gonna have to be better as a passing quarterback to be good in this league.
Okay,
all right. I think he's dynamic so far in terms of what he can do running the football. But if he wants to take teams, they adjust. Football team defenses adjust. If he wants to take his game to the next level. For him to be, like you said, that much better than Washington or that whatever, he can come back to the means playing that style of football. That doesn't lead. We've had one here. That doesn't lead you all the way to the promised land. It limits you. You can have a good year, but if you ain't throwing the football the way you need to throw it, teams can catch up to you.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm saying. So,
but like I said, what I named was the best case scenario.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The
I'm
most
with you.
Likely scenario yeah. with Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Let's see. He'll get injured.
That could definitely happen.
He will hold on the ball for too long, and he will create turnovers off sack fumbles. Right?
I can see
He'll
that
turn
too.
The ball over off of sack fumbles, and he will make errant throws.
No, I could definitely see that.
So, I'm not going to say him being like the regular Carson Wentz net that he's shown you to be over the past couple seasons is on par with Taylor Heineke. I think it's a little bit better than what you get with Taylor, because there are things you can do with even with Carson Wentz with his reduced skill set and his arm strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's if he's in the lineup for 16 games.
Yeah, I agree. I think that injury is an issue. Like if he gets injured, who's your quarterback? Who's your back quarterback? The same quarterback that you had last season.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe Taylor Heineke. Shows you he's that dude. He comes off the bench and he lights it up.
Now your arm is limited, bro. It is what it is. All right, so we posted it on social media. Feel free to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene, or comment on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Facebook, Jeffrey Walter said 8-9 or 7-10, 3-3 in the division. On Twitter, the homie Cameron. So this might be the year the Commanders go 11-6.
Yeah. Bullsh.
I don't think 11-6, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. That's not a record that I see this team getting. If they get it, that would be great. But I doubt 11-6 is in the fortune for this Washington Commanders team. I just don't. I don't see it. 11-6. That's
the best case scenario.
It's 10-7.
In order for you to get that.
Everything has to be right.
Yeah, the best case scenario, which I said, would have to all of those things would have to happen.
And I would have to make the argument that the defense has to play at a higher level than they did last year. To me, because that defense wasn't even good last year. That's something to me. I think that definitely needs to happen if they want to be that type of team. But only time will tell. We'll see.
The Washington Wizards have the 10th overall pick in the 2022 draft.
Good for the Washington Wizards, man. Look at them. All right, man. We're about to talk some caps.
Puck talk.
Newbie to the show, man. I'll be recruiting, man. Swill from the Spare Room Sesh podcast will join us to talk about the Washington
Can't
Capitals.
Wait. I cannot wait.
Get eliminated.
I cannot wait. This is exciting. This is the best type of sports talk there is.
After the break, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com.
New world, all the boys and girls. I got some true stories to tell. You're back outside, but they still lie. Whoa, yeah.
Take off the foo-foo. Take off the cloud chase. Take off the Wi-Fi. Take off the money phone. Take off the car loan. Take off the flex and the white loss. Take off the weird-ass jewelry. I'ma take 10 steps, then I'm taking off top off. Take off some fabricated streams and the microwave memes. It's a real world outside. Take off your idols. Take off the runway. Take off the Cairo. Take off the Sandro. Pay 5 days stay. Take off for the meal and the final. Take off the front flare. Take off reception. take off the cop with the hot patch. Take off the hello, take off the unsure, take off the decisions I had. Take off the fake deep, take off the fake woke, take off the humble, I care. Take off the gossip, take off the new logic that if I'm rich, I'm real. Take off the shit nail, take off the doge, take off the broken bag. Take all that designer boot off, and what do you have?
You out of pocket.
Two ATMs, you step in a what?
You out of pocket.
Who you think they talk about us?
You out of pocket.
Who you think they carry up us?
You back in pocket.
The world in a panic, the women is stranded, the men on the run, the profits are vanished, the law take advantage, the market is crashing, the
internet. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. I got Will Hype on Kendrick. Right, Will? You was getting hyped?
Absolutely, man. I love the album.
I know, man. It's a great album. I love it, man.
Some people don't really appreciate it for what it is.
It's great music, man.
It is. You know, a lot of people were, you know, some, I'm not going to say a lot, but some people I talked to, they were just like, can we get over the 1 week of everyone being excited about this album and get back to listening to Future?
All right, never mind. Right now, we have Swill.
A lot of younger people.
The Spare Room.
That's how they feel.
Spare Room Sesh podcast on the line. Hey, what's up, Swill? Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
What's going on, everybody? How we doing?
We're doing good. How you doing, man?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been listening to the first half of the show, and very low record prediction for those Commanders guys. Jeez.
I mean, it is what it is. We just try to tell the truth here. That's what we—that's just what we think. We don't placate to the fan base.
We try to tell the truth, man. Yeah. I got 10-7, and I got 10-7. But Will T is correct. Things have to be perfect for it to. Well, the quarterback play has to be totally improved for that to happen. You know.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Wentz might be over Heineke. I guess we'll have to see.
We have to see. We have to wait and see. But we can only go off of what this team has done over the last, you know, couple of seasons. You know, the average record is 7, right? Yeah. In terms of wins. So, yeah. I mean, before we start graduating, folks, that's the true improvement. But, hey, before we get into, you know, the segment and whatnot, can you tell our listeners about the Spare Room Sesh podcast?
Gotcha, yeah. So, Spare Room Sesh is really just me and a couple of my buddies. Coach, who we call my friend Jordy, we call him Coach, and my other buddy Cam. We have an occasional guest host. His name is FaZe. We come on. We really just shoot the shit. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, and hopefully you guys.
Yeah, you can say it, man.
We're gonna let you curse. Wole, don't let me
off the leash, man, and really talk how I want to talk on. Worry, you know, on the show, man. Yeah, I appreciate you, Swill. Like, first time on, just saying, shooting the shit.
DC sports, all that good type of stuff. Mostly Cavs, Commanders, Ravens. We try to get to the Wizards as much as we can, but they're difficult for me to talk about. So. I'll get to them another hour. How we feeling, guys?
I know that's right. All right, well, you know, let's get right into it. I know you're a busy dude. I know you're on a tough schedule. So the Washington Capitals were eliminated by the Florida Panthers in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, 4-2, right? Your thoughts on the series?
All right, so my thoughts on the series, realistically, I can't get that guy's name, Carter Verhaeghe, from the Florida Panthers' name out of my brain. This guy is burned into my memory for the rest of the time. This guy had 6 goals, 6 assists, 12 points, and I think that's a first-round playoff record for the NHL. And he just so happened to do it against our team. So we couldn't get any luckier for the guy just to score 6 goals. He had to get the fucking 6 assists, too. outside of that, realistically, man, just our age, it kind of came back to get us throughout this series. We're an old team. Our veteran core, I think, has an average age of 35. And when Tom Wilson's not in the lineup and when he is in the lineup, it only goes down to about 32. So we're still a relatively old bunch. And that just, to me, it showed throughout the whole series because Florida, they got some vets too, but they are not, their average age isn't 35. They're not sitting out there skating around in a retirement home like we look like we were out there doing for those last 3 games. So, in all, not really more than what we expected. I don't think many Caps fans were realistically thinking we could get through that series. But when you're up in 3 straight games and then you blow a lead in those with all 3 of those games, it makes it a tough pill to swallow.
All right, Swill. I can appreciate your use of curse words, but I have another question for you. All right, you mentioned the age of this team. When we think about Ovi and you think about Nicholas Backstrom, those are 2 guys who have been core for this team, you know, at the core for a championship squad. With the news that Backstrom will have the hip surgery in the offseason, do you think now is the time where they take that into consideration and start to look at, evaluate, you know, possibly bringing in more young players to keep this playoff run going or sustained.
Absolutely. I think now is about as good of a time as any, because with the core only getting older at this point, there's no reason to try to, you know, just bring in the old guys. You know, we're not trying to be the Lakers of the NHL. We're trying to make sure
let's not take shots at my Lakers.
Yeah, don't come to podcast too. He's a big LeBron guy. He gets it every time he comes on here. Oh. But yeah, I think if this series wasn't a sign for GM Brian McClellan and Ted Leonsis to start thinking we should get younger, I don't know when it will be, guys. And now is as good of a time as any. And Backstrom, from what I heard today, there's rumors that his hip injury might be bad enough for him to be considering retirement. And if that's the case, I mean, that's just going to be crazy, guys.
Yeah, that's going to end of an era if that happens. So, you know, Barry Trotz is out there. I mean, he got, you know, Islanders let him go. He won a Stanley Cup champion. He won a Stanley Cup with this team. Should they consider?
Yeah, he did.
Should they consider bringing him back? I mean, it hasn't been the same. They haven't been the same.
So as a Caps fan, obviously, like the only coach that we've ever had in the history of our franchise, I would love to bring him back. But I don't think at this point that it's going to be realistic. Just today, he had an interview with Winnipeg and Vegas, Detroit, and I believe Philly are lining up to try to interview him now as well. A lot of those teams have one thing in common, and they are younger, they're faster than we are, and their GM didn't turn around and tell him to fuck off after he won a Stanley Cup.
Love this guy.
That'd be pretty big for me. I don't know if I would come back if I were Barry Trotz. As badly as me and all the Caps fans out there probably want him, I just don't see it happening.
Fuck no.
I
mean, no one wants to come back after being treated like that.
Be the head coach after the guy won a Stanley Cup for you, I don't know how he would ever consider coming back. I mean, if they threw more than the $5 million a year that he wanted at him, maybe. But outside of that, I don't know. As a fan, though, hell yeah. Bring Barry back, please.
See, Will, you want to say something, Will, before I let my man go?
No, I was just saying, I totally agree with you, man. Tell the Caps to fuck off, man.
You got Will cursing like this. He's been waiting for this. He's been waiting for this time.
Yeah, man.
You edited him out, right?
No, I'm not doing any editing. They know I don't edit no more. I don't got time for that.
You got time for that shit, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Keep this shit real on here in the urban sports scene.
Hey, now you look, talking. You know what? Real talk. You going a little over the top now, Will. Like, all right, you going over the top. At least Will, like, at least it flows with him. He's flowing. Like, it just comes out. You trying now.
I'm
bro.
Not trying. Yeah. I'm not trying.
Can't stop it.
Hey, well, thanks for being on, Swill. Before we let you go, how can folks catch your podcast and find you on social media?
On Twitter, we are at SR Sesh Pod. Instagram, Spare Room Sesh Pod. We don't have a Facebook yet. My man's Bole told me I need to get on that.
Get on that, man.
He told me to. Hit her on stick. But outside of that, every major podcast platform you can catch us on. Spotify, Google, Apple, you name it, we're on.
Bet. Hey, man, thanks for being on, my man. You know, we appreciate you. We're going to try to get you back on again, man.
Absolutely. Just let me know. I'm down to come on whenever, guys.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for liberating us.
Have a good one.
No, all right, have a good
you too,
one.
Man.
You said, look, because you like the curse. This is why I feel you, bro.
Listen, I appreciate someone who can articulate themselves freely, like Swill, using certain 4- and 5-letter words.
I'm glad he made you happy. He made me happy. I like his energy. I love, you know, I love, you know me. I love energy, man. You know, that's my thing, bro.
Yeah. You know, listen, I was skeptical about talking hockey in the A-block.
I know, but now you're back.
Well, yeah, I'm back. I love it. You know, Swill, I greatly appreciate you. So, but, you know, the draft lottery just wrapped up. When we get back, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs after the break. It's the urban sports scene. You dig?
Deuces.
On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and myself, Will. Ray is out. We are part of Empire Media. Back from break. Now we're about to talk the NBA playoffs. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics is on right now. Who do you have winning this series, Wole, and why?
Man, I still have Boston. I think Boston, with the way they're playing basketball, I'm a big fan. Jason Tatum is taking his game to the next level. In terms of playing efficient basketball, you got Jaylen Brown. You already know how I feel about Jaylen Brown as a basketball player. Tonight, which kind of hurts to me, is that they're not going to have Al Horford or Marcus Smart in this game. And I'm all about setting the tone. You know, if you're trying to, you know, because Miami has home court advantage, you got to set the tone and say, you know what, we're taking this. If you don't have your two dogs, these are guys that they brought back, you know, to Boston, and we have that winning culture. These are the individuals they missed when everybody was talking about can Boston get things right. They brought back a lot of familiar faces and familiar pieces to help them get to this point. And, you know, and bringing back Al Horford was very important. Now, he may miss two games, game one and game two, in Miami, which is big. You know what I mean? So, to me, that kind of changes things a little bit. But I still think Boston has that grit and toughness to kind of match Miami. Just like, you know, they both have similar mentalities. So, I'm going to go with Boston. Guys like the two young studs.
All right. That very good analysis.
Yeah.
I've stated that I feel that there's possibly two teams. I felt that there were three teams that could possibly come out of the East.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, Miami, and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Two of those teams are still here live. And I ultimately, you know, we talked about this last show when Miami was playing the Sixers.
Yeah.
I just feel ultimately that Miami's too deep of a mm-hmm. team for Boston to be able to dictate their deep, for them to play with the same similar defensive coverages that they have against Brooklyn and against Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when you have, you know, three or four guys on the floor at a time that can score
mm-hmm.
and create shots for others, it gets you out of playing defense the way that Boston has, which is, you know, one foot in the paint, guarding the paint. So I'm going with Miami.
And what? Like, what do you have them, like, in the series? Like
seven.
Seven? So you're going to go
home court advantage. Home court advantage prevails.
I Miami's tough. You know, obviously, they're playing great basketball. I think within the teams and remaining in the playoffs, they've probably been playing, like, the best out of all the teams in the playoffs. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's the remaining teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about being battle-tested, too. You know, Miami was in a situation where they didn't get the best of Philadelphia. Because Joel Embiid wasn't Joel Embiid. Yeah. It's the truth. It wasn't. Come on now.
But when you say battle tested, this is the same team that went to the
No. I mean in the postseason. It's like I'm gonna make the same argument in this postseason. I'm gonna make the same argument for certain teams in the West. Like I'm gonna make the same argument about certain teams in the West. So it's just like, and then you game one you're going against who? Where they go game one? Was Trae Young in Atlanta, which again you can make the argument that they went to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals last year. So
yep.
But I think you're going to get – and this is the thing – this too, though, right? You're not even getting the same Boston squad off the bat. You know what I mean? Because you're going to get – basically not get the strongest Boston squad throughout the series. You're going to probably – they're going to be missing two important players. I hate that, though.
Well, they'll be missing one guy for sure for a couple games, and that's Al Horton because he's in the health and safety protocol.
Yeah.
I believe Marcus Smart there's a foot injury.
Yeah,
so we don't know.
There's a chance. I'm not. He can play games. I'm thinking he'll probably toughen up for game two. But I'm just saying, like that's. I hate that though. I hate that when the postseason, like, and for any team, like.
Yeah, but I mean
that's part of basketball. No, I agree.
But that's the reason why I like Miami.
Because they're deep, right?
They're deeper. Even though they don't have Kyle Lowry, I don't believe Lowry will play this.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah.
They still have Jimmy Butler. They still have Tyler Hero. They still have Bam Adebayo. They still have Victor Oladipo.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point.
And you have a guy, and you think about it, right? You could put PJ Tucker on Jason Tatum, who's the best wing. The best offensive wing player for Boston, and you don't have to tire out any of those guys on the defensive end, and that saves a guy like Jimmy Butler for later mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter, you know, when or if you need him to lock up, or not necessarily lock up, but defend Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
I have, I said I have Boston. I have Boston in seven. I'll go seven. Boston, seven.
Okay.
Are you listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com? All right, game one of the Western Conference Finals is tomorrow night. We have the Dallas Mavericks versus the Golden State Warriors. Who do you have winning the series and why?
I have the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I think you have to, right?
You don't have to, right? But some people will look at Luka and say Luka is playing out of his mind, and if he could do that against the best team in the NBA, he could do that against Golden State. But mm-hmm. the difference is, even though I don't believe Steve Kerr may be on the bench for Game One. I'm not sure. From a Golden State perspective, you can just simply throw too many bodies at Luka to defend him, and those uh-huh. bodies will, and those players will all defend him a different way. Uh-huh. Draymond, you're probably not going to start out with Draymond on it, but Draymond can defend him and be more physical in the post uh-huh. with him. So can Kuminga.
Yeah.
Then you have Wiggins, right? Wiggins, his athleticism, his speed,
dogs,
ability to change direction,
yeah,
that may hinder Luka on the offensive end. And then you have Klay Thompson, who's one of the best defensive guards and just a great shooter also. So he's one of the best defensive guards out there in the NBA, and you could put him on Luka. So I think there are four guys the way they play him will be able to dictate the back end of that defensive coverage. And plus, at the end of the day, I think Steve Kerr and Mike Brown, those guys are more likely to say, hey, Luka,
yeah,
score 50 if you can.
Yeah,
everyone else,
yeah, we'll see how that
will lock you up, and we'll see what see how you'll be able to win the series.
I don't know. They're not stopping Luka. They're not containing him. They're not doing anything. It's just that, like, it's about nutrition. You're right. You can throw out the bodies. Like, you could. They have bodies to try to check them. Draymond.
And I forgot about Otto Porter.
But when you're a player like Luka, like, it's a different animal. Now, to your point, like, the question is, can Luka carry this team to a victory, to win a series, to win four games? You know what I mean? Because you don't use the Memphis Grizzlies example of saying that, okay, the Warriors may have struggled against Memphis even without Ja, right? Like, to a certain extent, they made that, you would think that game would be, the series would be easier with Ja being out, but they fought, right? But the Memphis plays a different style of defense, right? And they're a different type of grit. Not to say the Dallas Mavericks don't have that type of grit, but I think it's a different series. And then when you're going and you can't assume that Steph isn't going to be as consistent, Klay isn't going to be that consistent. You got some of the role players that you talk about being deep, like the Warriors are deep. Like, they're now going to be able to use a Otto Porter more because they were so worried about the bigs and Memphis. They were still worried about
Jaren Jackson,
and also
Steven Adams,
that they were like, forget it. I think Mike Brown made a decision not to play Otto Porter like the last game. So now the whole team is open. You know what I'm saying? And to the young players that you mentioned, so like, this is going to be difficult. But if any player in the league can do it, I am now a firm believer. I remember last season I was like, how come Trae Young doesn't get the love that Luka gets? You know, he took his team to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a whole nother level.
It's a whole nother level now. Now I see it. I've always thought Luka was a dog. Don't get it twisted. But I used to be like, why? How come Trae Young don't get the love? They both came out the same draft. Trae just took his team to the Conference Finals. But you all still talk about Luka. It's over now, bro. You beat Monty by like how much?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At one point they were up by 44
yeah,
points.
Yeah, like, bro, and you have been unguardable. Like, and you don't have a legit, this is the thing. We talk about what in the NBA? We talk about everybody. You need like a Robin who's a all-star or Hall of Fame caliber player. Yo, who is his number two?
Doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily
say Jalen Brunson. Yeah, but you know what I mean? At the level of what people would deem
a star.
Your star
player.
Yeah.
Not, I think Jalen Brunson. Not even an all-star
yeah,
player.
But a star player. Yeah. I think like Jalen Brunson. I think Jalen Brunson has game. I like the Minovas. I think he got game. I'm just saying that it's Luka's show. You know what I mean? This is Porzingis was supposed to be his Robin. He's now in D.C. Like, this is his show, and he's gotten his team. And give credit when credit's due. I always make this statement. Everybody looks at me. They laugh at me. The wrong coach left L.A., Jason Kidd, like the job he's doing with this team too as well. man.
Yeah, that's true. But we have to put perspective, right? Mm. At the time, there was the issues with him off the court, right? And that is why he didn't get the head coaching job in LA.
Yeah,
that's why he was the assistant.
Folks got issues all the time. And like Chauncey Billups was like, they was holding something for Chauncey Billups in the
true.
I mean, I'm not holding that against Chauncey. I thought they were trying to screw Chauncey, but I'm just telling you, saying?
Yeah,
like,
I understand what you what you're saying, but in today's climate, you just can't.
Oh,
you
know, I get it. I know what you're saying.
You can't have those things in your past.
Yeah, so,
and you know, not expect those things to come up.
Yeah, I hear you. So on my man on Facebook, we talked about the East, you know, the conference finals for both sides. George has the Celtics in seven.
George is because
you thought you thought George was about to be with you.
I thought George was with me, and I heard you say seven.
I know. So. You thought George in the streets with you.
I thought Miami. I thought.
I'm trying to look. I know. Trying to actually read another one. I'm on my man Cameron on Twitter. I think he had Cameron had the West Nets series. I'm trying to look it up. I don't see it on here, but yeah, George. Let me pull it up real quick. You can talk while I'm doing dead time.
Well, no, okay. it's interesting, right? Because here's the thing with Luka, right? Uh-huh. Well, Luka, we've seen a great one-on-one player take his team to the Western Conference Finals a couple times. That's James Harden, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So will Luka tire out at this point in the season? Right, that's the biggest
question.
You know, because he's not the guy who stays in the best of shape.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So it's going to be interesting to see. But I'm very much looking forward to watching these conference finals. You know, we got one every day, so
yeah,
can't wait.
My man Cameron tweeted, "I'm going with the upset. I'm picking Dallas in six. That boy Luka is a problem. Good luck to whoever on the Warriors guarding him. He is a problem. I'm not going to lie. That boy a problem.
He is a problem.
His game is nasty. I think we've all seen it. It's a unique game because it's not predicated on athletic ability. It's like
it's skill.
It's so skill. And you know what it kind of does?
And you know what the biggest thing about Luka that when you see him going one on one that a lot of players don't have is he has a counter
to counter your defense. Yeah, I know right. He does.
Like, matter you know like if you take okay you take away his initial drive right?
Yeah,
he's going to cross over to his left, he's going to move, he's going to inch, get a little bit closer, yep. Going with his lefty, he's going to cross over again, then he's going to be able to either start to put you in the post and hit a step and body you up and step back, or he's just going to shake you.
I mean, his bag is mean. I mean, the lack of a better term, his bag is mean. Like, I'm going to be real, his bag is mean. He got a lot in that bag where he can just go to work. Like, Luka is an animal. Like, he's a legit animal. I'm impressed with Luka. I really am. I think Luka, what he brings to the league, what he brings to his game, is freaking amazing, man. It really is. Real quick before we go into it, you seem like all right. I want to get your opinion on Patrick Beverley has been doing to Chris Paul. I mean, what he's been stating about Chris Paul. Because y'all about to curse.
I saw some of the highlights, man. I've always had this problem, right?
Yeah.
If you're an NBA player, it's a brotherhood to me because it's a fraternity because you're the top 1% of the top 1% of all the basketball players in the world, mm-hmm. right? Great, one of the best basketball players ever. And for you to go on ESPN on that platform with that many people, and I'm not going to say, and just have those type of disparaging comments against Chris Paul, a guy who's going to be, in my opinion, he's going to retire probably one of the top seven players at his position ever. I've said it long before this. Chris Paul is a generational talent, right? One of those guys who don't come along also very often. But for Patrick Beverley, for you to go on and go to that length.
Yeah.
To kind of disparage his game, it's just some hating shit.
Oh, there you go. And I'm gonna read this post on Facebook. The homie Brandon Carey posted about the Mavs Warriors series. It says Mavs in six, Luka on something different. Kid will outcoach Kerr. All right, so let me get to that one. Patrick Beverly is on some fuckboy shit. And I literally, now you got me, he got me cursing. I read, when I saw it, you saw, you know, I'm on social media and everybody posting like, oh, he said this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, it can't be that bad. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and I feel like Matt Barnes had a great take on it. Like, basically saying like, bro, you're not even that dude. Why are you, not even that dude to say that. Like, you're not that dude, bro. Your whole average, you average like 9 points a game. You ain't even that dude to come out and talk about CP3 like that.
Well, I'll say this. No, you know, if you're going to be on ESPN and be on that forum, right, like, you have the leeway to criticize a player,
yeah,
right? A player or a player's game. Yeah. You can't criticize him as a man. You can criticize his game.
Yeah.
But given their history and...
With him? Yeah.
Yeah, and going, you know, how hard he was going, it felt it was more personal than anything.
Yeah, and I have an issue with even the people on that show for bringing that dude on, because you knew what he was going to do. Like, you knew what he was about.
But at this point, that's what ESPN is about, though, yeah, right? It's about argument culture with sports, yeah. And it's about getting these former athletes to say something to go viral.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, Patrick Beverly is not a guy who will hold his tongue.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made the best of that his time on that forum. And I think we know where Patrick Beverly will be when he retires. He'll probably be on ESPN.
Yeah, that's his goal.
One of those guys commenting on basketball.
Yeah, I just feel like that dude, Pat Beverly, I think he's a player that, you know, he ain't get enough attention as a child, obviously. Like, because that's some real fuckboy shit. Like, real talk. Like you went out your way to kind of disparage it. Like, you went out your way. There's a difference of trying to be a... Like, to criticize, you talk about something, but you went out your way comparing it to, like, hold him to that Ben Simmons energy. Like, this, I'm like, bruh, we talking about, like you just said, one of the best point guards to ever play the game. I don't care who, you can hate Chris Paul all you want. I don't even care. Like, in this generation, he is one of the best point guards to ever play basketball within his generation. So, for you to go out your way, especially you, Pat, like, real talk, like, there's got to be levels in life, bruh. Like, you Pat Beverly, you a role player talking ill.
I get it, but.
A cone? Like, this is what we doing. This dude has been one of the best defenders. Like, with your own eye test, bro. Like, he has been one of the best defenders.
Yeah.
Like, you said a cone. Defense.
Yeah.
Like you said, ask anybody in the league. Bro, like, ask anybody in the league. Dude, you hack all the fucking time. Ask anybody in the league that you do you hack. Yes, you fucking do. You get away with that shit. So, I don't want to hear nothing about, ask anybody in the league. Fool. Let folks ask folks about you in the league. Well, how about what you did to Russell Westbrook? Like, you a dirty player, bro. Ask anybody in the league that you a dirty player. You a dirty player. Ask anybody in the league that. Hold that same energy for yourself, bro. Acting like a little bitch.
You just let him fly, huh?
Yeah, you just started it. You done opened it.
I didn't know. Swill opened it. I'll just end it with this. Like I said, you know, no one player is above reproach where they can't, you can't criticize.
No, but just difference though.
No, but hold on. Yeah. I get it. And Chris Paul, he probably will tell you himself he played terrible.
Yes.
Devin Booker played terrible. The whole team played terrible, right? Mm-hmm. It was just one of those nights that was an anomaly. If you look at a team that was 63-19, mm-hmm. I think. It was just an anomaly. Yeah. It was a terrible night for them.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that the worst night of the season for them was during game seven of the Western Conference semifinals.
All facts.
But, you know, there's a difference between criticizing and going above and beyond, yeah. Right? And that's what Patrick Beverly did. And, it, you know, it's not ideal, but, you know,
it is what it is.
And, you know, you saw that he was back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can imagine, you know, He has a longer, well, not a long off season because they made it to the playoffs, but that probably won't be the last time you hear.
Oh, they're getting it. He's getting it in. They get it in.
Hear from him. And during, on that, yeah.
Oh, him, next season. Oh, yeah. The smoke's going to be real. The smoke's going to be all the way real. All right. As part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with Delaware State star infielder, Trey Page after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah,
deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. young one, chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats, full surface. Come on.
In the hood, I might just toss it. Underground, downtown, I might just toss it. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock it. He ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit him where the chest at, hit him where the neck at. Show me where the wrist at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it. You and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't trying to kill no kid, I'ma turn it like money, then I'm kicking her out. I spit game to your wife, then we robbing your house. Not good that day that we're gripping the grain. If you got it and I want it, I ain't.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole Ray. Jeezy's out, and we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, it's time for HBCU Corner. This segment spotlights coaches and players within HBCU athletics. Here is an interview with Dell State University star infielder, Trey Page. Welcome back to HBCU Corner. Right now, we have Dell State University star infielder Trey Page on the show. Trey is on preseason All MEAC team. What's up, Trey? And welcome to HBCU Corner with the Urban Sports Scene.
What's up? How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Everything's good, man. We appreciate having you on, Matt. You know what? I've seen your stats, and they are very impressive, man.
Thank you.
So we were told before the show that you got a nickname. Your nickname is Cap. They call you Cap.
Yeah, the team voted me as captain earlier this season, and it's a great honor. I love that they trust me with that role, and they embrace it, and I embrace it. It's a lot of fun. They all call me Cap.
And you're a sophomore?
Yes, sir. On the field, I'm a sophomore.
That is awesome. So you're a captain? Oh my God, man, that is awesome. Like you got do you view yourself personally as that type of a team leader?
Yeah, I feel like I've been that way since going back to high school. I've always been like a leader and like to lead guys in the right direction. So yeah, I love that role 100%.
Awesome. All right, so we're gonna start you off with some lighthearted questions first. You know, we're not gonna go too deep into anything. We'll start you off light, just real light. All right, first off.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Who has the best homecoming?
I personally have only been to DSU's homecoming, so I can't say anything anyone else's homecoming. But ours is fun. It's good getting around all the people, and everybody always looks forward to it. And it's a lot of fun.
All right. Okay. So what makes DSU's homecoming special or fun?
They always have good events. Everyone's always, like I said, super excited about it, enthusiastic, and just being around all the people just makes it so much fun. And the environment's just great to be around, especially my first year with COVID. Like everyone was like wanted it to come back, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay. So, as an athlete, how is the experience in homecoming for you as an athlete? Is it any different from your peers that are not athletes, not student athletes?
Personally, a lot of people know me, but I don't think it's much different. Everyone's treated pretty much the same. We all like to get along, whether you're an athlete or not. Like I have friends on both sides of it, so it's a lot of fun either way.
That's what's up. We had Asaya on the show on the football. He's on the football team. And Asaya, you all said the same thing. Dell State homecoming is the best. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everybody.
It's a lot of fun. He did not say that. He said Lincoln.
No, he didn't. You're right.
Facts. He did not say that.
What did he say? Right? What did he say?
He said Lincoln.
Yeah, he said Lincoln. That's no way. Thank you. You called me right. You're right.
That's fair. I've heard Lincoln's a good one.
let me jump in here real quick because he mentioned Asias. Like we told him, we went to UMES. Okay, so we're gonna start to have a little fun. We gotta get you warmed up. Is UMES a threat to Dell State in baseball? Be real.
We've been playing each other pretty equal this year, and they're a lot better than we expected. But we play them one more time. in 2 weeks, and it should be a good one.
But you won second place in the MEAC, though.
We won first place in the MEAC, but we're
you're second right now. You're second right now, though, right?
Yeah, we're second right now.
Yeah, right now. Man, see, y'all close. Look, man, you keep putting stats like that, you're going to get the first. Don't get it twisted.
Eventually.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. All right, who's your favorite baseball player?
Personally, my favorite baseball player, probably Bryce Harper. I'm a big Phillies fan. So it's fun to watch him play all the time, especially because he's close to home now. And he's always been a competitor. I'm a left-handed hitter. He's a left-handed hitter. It's fun to watch.
See, Ray's a Nets fan.
I'm a Nets fan. So, listen, we were cool, but it's going left quick.
Juan Soto's a good one to watch too, though. You got a good one there.
Love it.
We got a ring.
You're from PA, right? You're from PA.
I am from PA. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Are you from? Right. I think. Are you from Allentown?
I'm from Reading. Reading. Yeah.
Reading. Okay. So, all right. So, you know, a lot of athletes get, you know, like the pregame, they get hyped on music. Is there any type of music you like to listen to before a game?
I'm a big rap before a game guy. I have a specific playlist I listen to before every game.
Okay.
I got a couple songs on there. It's not long. It's just a couple songs just to get me hyped up. Anything I can, like, really sing to and get into, you can ask the guys. I'll sit, like, be rapping on the bus. Like, I just get excited. Just got to get locked in the zone.
See, Ray, he shows emotion. You see that? You know what I'm talking about, Ray? He's not a boring dude. He shows emotion as an athlete. That's your type, bro.
They call you Cap for a reason. You gotta get everybody else type. They follow your lead.
Exactly.
Bro. It's not because you're capping, right? I'm sure you get that joke. Even though it's a little corny, but still, what I'm saying is, hey, you gotta take the lead, bro. And we putting that onus on you. If they're gonna call you Cap, you can be the team captain. They voted not just because you're a leader, but because you're an awesome player. And of course, you're the example that everybody wants to follow. So that's dope, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So we're gonna get into some real questions. All right, here we go. All right. So this season I mentioned you were balling. This season, you lead the MEAC in home runs, average, and you're five RBIs away from a triple crown. Is getting a triple crown a goal for you?
Yeah, definitely. I set that as one of my goals early in the season. And a couple of my teammates, I told them, and they're like, yo, you can easily get that. Like, it's got to put in the work. And that's really all it is just put in the work and trust in the process. But that's definitely been a goal since the season started to get that for sure.
One more question. So, and also, like, your preseason All-MEAC team, right? So it makes it even more dope. Your preseason, like, player of the year. Like, talk about that, like getting that type of acknowledgement, you know, that going into the season, folks already deem you that guy. And truth be told, you're already leading, you're stepping up, you're being that dude.
Yeah, that was a big honor, too, because, I mean, last year I was first team all conference. And looking back at it, I was like, man, I can still improve. And it shows that people think the same thing and that I can be the best in the conference. And it just, like, gives me extra motivation to go prove those people right, honestly. And I feel like I've been doing a good job. Just got to keep it going throughout the rest of the season.
So you mentioned Bryce Harper. Is that who you model your game after, or are there other athletes or the other professional baseball players that you try to model your game after?
I said maybe a little bit. We play different positions, so it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But like his swing, I love to watch his swing. It's very, very a very good one. But yeah, I mean, he hits balls a mile, and that's what all hitters want to do. So. I can't complain about that.
All right, now I'm going to act old. Do you ever watch, like, Griffey swing back? Do you
absolutely.
Old school? Okay, I want to make sure. All right.
No, absolutely.
Okay, no, because now, Ray, I'm now thinking of my age now. Like, I'm trying
Ken Griffey, Robert Walters, two different categories. Of course, everybody knows who Griffey is. If you're a baseball player, you know who Griffey is, bro. So,
all right, cool.
That's the best left-handed swing ever.
I guess Barry is a close second, right?
Barry. Yeah, Barry Bonds is very good too.
But that swing, Griffey's swing is so much different, bro.
Oh yeah, that's
pretty.
Swing. Who would you say in today's baseball has like the prettiest swing? Not being like, I know Bryce is your favorite, like the prettiest swing.
Man, that's a tough one. I like Mike Trout's swing a lot. It's very unique, and a lot of guys can't like emulate it, so I like his swing a lot just because it's unique. And you try to do what he does, and it just doesn't work. He's just a special player.
Would you say he's the best baseball player when healthy?
he's up there. I think Shohei Ohtani's better just because he can pitch too. So that it's hard to pick a position player over a guy that can do both. But Mike Trout's definitely one of the best, if not the best.
Yeah. All right. So what would you tell you? You're at HBCU. So first of all, what would you tell a high school prospect who's thinking about going to an HBCU?
I would tell them that it's a great experience. The guys that are here for a reason. They want to get the HBCU experience while still playing the sport that they love. And I've had a great experience with it so far. And even like your opponents are all, you guys are all are there for the same reason. And the competition is like level across the board. Like you look at our standings right now, we're all pretty much even. So it's going to be good competition and it's going to be a lot of fun and it's going to be very enthusiastic and guys want to be here.
Sweet. So where do you want to see yourself end up? What's your ultimate goal in your baseball journey?
My ultimate goal is to play professional. I think that's every baseball player's goal. It's been mine since I was a little kid, just growing up, going to games, watching games. It's always been a goal of mine, a dream of mine. So I'm chasing that right now. And then if that doesn't work out, then get into coaching and try to help the younger generations reach their goal.
Oh, it's gonna work out.
I hope so. I hope so.
It's gonna work out. You gotta claim it. That's the that, yeah. It's gonna work out. Claim it. All right. It's going down. It's gonna work out.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, there you go, man. Well, Trey, I mean, Ray, well, first of all, I would like to coach. I mean, I love baseball. So we already told it, Asias, we're gonna try to go to a football game. So next, I'm gonna try to get catch one of your games too. Right, Ray.
That sounds good. We make the run. Yeah, of course. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely, man. All day.
You know what I'm saying? So
maybe the UMES game we can catch that.
I said we got who you gonna root UMES
for? Games. Look, man, if he hits a homer, I'm gonna say I know this dude.
You see his face though. Like,
I think
like you just said, we all got the same goal in mind, right? So I can root for you and I can root for UMES. And there's no losers in that for me. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay, yeah. I do want to ask a question before I let you go, Trey. Like when you hit a homer, do you got a pose? Like, you know, do you walk to first? Do you like a bat flip? Do you have a thing when you hit a homer?
It depends. If I know it's a homer, like you kinda gotta show it a little bit. Sometimes you don't know, so you gotta hustle out of the box. But
of course,
when you know you get one, you gotta give a little bat flip sometimes, hype up your bench a little bit, get the guys going.
Okay, because I did see a video where you did hit a homer, right? But you ran halfway and then you flicked the bat.
Yeah,
I was like, okay. I was like, all right, I see the swag. You was like, okay, I'm not sure. Oh, it's there. All right, let me flick it.
Yeah,
bat flip it. Yeah. I like it. You know what I mean? You gotta have fun, man. When you play baseball,
exactly. You gotta try to have some fun.
Especially it's not easy to hit a homer, and you hit enough, but still, like you gotta showcase it.
Right. Exactly.
Definitely. Well, Trey, man, thanks for being on HBCU Corner. Is there anything you would like to add, my man?
No, just thank you so much for having me, guys, and look forward to seeing you guys at a game soon.
Oh, you most definitely, Trey. Most definitely. Thanks again, my man.
Of course.
All right, man. That's Dale State star infielder Trey Page, man. Trey is amazing. He was actually named Player of the Year. So it was preseason and he was a Player of the Year, man. So you know he was that dude, man. Amazing talent. Man, like I said, claim it. That boy is special, boy. That boy is special. You can also find the video of this interview on our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. All right, we'll play our pre-tape interview with lightweight boxer and DC's own Anthony Peterson after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with the Detroit.
But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What suffers in fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better.
Welcome back to the urban sports scene. Our next guest is a native of Washington, D.C., who began boxing at a young age alongside his brother after meeting renowned boxing trainer Barry Hunter. Hunter, who also served as more than just a boxing trainer, but also a father figure, recognized our guest's immense talent that eventually parlayed into a stellar amateur boxing career that included notable victories over the likes of Anthony Durrell and Carl Dynamite Dargan. Also, his amateur career included 7 amateur boxing national titles. His professional record stands at 38-1-1 with 24 wins coming by way of knockout. It's a pleasure to have joining us Anthony Peterson here on the Urban Sports Scene. Anthony, what's good, bro?
Man, hey, everything is love, baby. How you feeling?
Hey, it's a blessing to have you because we've been waiting for this all day because we used to hoop with your brother Lou.
Yeah,
out in Laurel, Lord. Right? And I used to give him buckets, and I see you like the hoop too. And I was like, are you as good as him or better? I mean, he a little older, but he looked good for his age. Always has. So the genes is real. But like I said, you can ask him. I used to give him buckets. He challenged me in bowling after a while. Like, meet me at the alley later on. You know what I'm saying? Because basketball, yeah. I understand. But you know, he stay in shape. So I know you hoop. How's your game looking?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those guys. I'm like Robert Ori. Just put me in the corner and make that shot. I ain't going to do no fancy crossover. I ain't going to play no real defense. But you put me in that corner, I'm gonna make that 3 for you.
Okay.
You know that.
You got that corner pocket.
That thing like 85%. Trying to tell you.
85, I love
85%, I know that's right.
Oh, so I guess Lou is better then, because Lou actually can dribble, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was his thing. Basketball was his thing, you know. Uh-huh. Watch Kobe. Kobe's his man. Lakers, you know, he.
I know, I remember.
Definitely go out there practicing and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Uh-huh.
That's so, what's up. We'll tell him Brand Wole from Sport Fit say it was good when you talk to him next. Anyway, on a boxing tip, we can get to it now. You being trained by your other brother, Lamont, how's that beneficial for your career at this point?
Man, it's definitely, man, it's like a breath of fresh air. All these questions that I always had about why this and why that about boxing, you know, he was able to, you know, reassure me on. You know, we came together and just, you know, answered a lot of questions that we both had for these years, just like having no real understanding of boxing. You know, we just had pure athleticism and good genetics. But we talking about know-how. That know-how take you a long way. You know, we had a lot of tools in our toolbox. We didn't know how to use it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so this something that may require a flathead screw. You trying to use a full driveway or a jackhammer. It don't need you need that for this time. So we can pretty much just, you know, knowing what to use and when it's time to use it as far as the toolbox goes. And May 28th, y'all gonna see some, you know, of them toolboxes I'm talking about.
Love hearing you. Talk about May 28th. The Beltway Battle Round 2 goes down Saturday, May 28th at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in D.C. Can you tell our listeners about the event and what should they expect?
Oh, yeah, and it's sponsored by Legacy D.C. Uh-huh. And expect fireworks. Expect the shows. You know, you got to endorse the fact that a lot of people have been indoors for this pandemic and a lot of restrictions and stuff. Uh-huh. So this is going to be like a D.C. event where everybody can come out with no masks, no restrictions
awesome.
Or vaccinations and cards and stuff like that. And it's Memorial Day weekend. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, you know, it's a yin and yang with that because a lot of people will be in town versus out of town. You know what I mean? So we will see how that go, but from this point, like, I believe it's going to be a beautiful night as far as just me taking that next step to what everybody keeps saying when I run when I'm in the streets. Man, when they going to give you a shot? Man, what they going to do for you? Man, if I got a dollar for every time somebody said that, I'm going to have to do nothing else but just collect dollars.
I'm one of those people, man. I ain't going to lie to you. Because, like I said, I've been hearing about you for a minute.
Yeah. Man, see, look, I ain't gonna just run up on you. I see y'all every now and again. I see you up MGM before, you know. Man. But hey, man, it's all love. That's what I love about y'all. Y'all just out and about. I see Lamont too every now and again out of Forestville. Anyway, Lamont for American here at home. What's it like for you fighting at home in front of your family and friends, bro?
Oh man, it's electric. You know what I mean? They the ones that give you the extra boost. You know when you tired because. And now I understand, you know, home court advantages in NBA and stuff like that and NFL because that crowd, the energy had you, you know what I'm saying, take you to a whole nother level. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's definitely an adrenaline booster. So definitely it's a great, it's been March 24th of 2019 since I performed. Well, actually, wow, that was in Maryland because I was in MGM. But of course, Maryland, DC, but the last time I fought in DC was April 1st, 2016 on that Adrian Broner comedy for Ashley Theopane.
Yeah.
So that was the last time I fought in front of my people. But of course, I wasn't the attraction of the situation. Uh-huh. So, yeah, this can be definitely something that's a lot of people can look forward to. And I'm not jumping the gun or looking past the dude. I'm looking through him. Be coming through August the 6th to come right back, stay active, you know what I mean? Because like I said, I've been out for so long. And it ain't like I just came off a 2-year layoff once, but I did that shit 3 times in my whole career. You know what I mean? And that's the most frustrating thing ever. And it was like watching myself train every day and watch myself show these guys that you see every day, like Adrian Broner and Gervonta Tank Davis and Robert Easton, watching these guys compete, not only just in fights, but for world championship belts. When I'm sitting here and I can't even get a fight.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like this got to be some type of crimes to humanity in boxing. But let me reassure y'all on something, how these things that, how it can happen this way.
Uh-huh.
If you look at boxing, boxing is not a national organization. The key word is the N word is national. NBA, national organization. NFL, national organization. NHL, national organization. Boxing don't have that. There's no real body governance or rules that everybody have to follow. Virginia may do drug testing. DC may not. Idaho may require a certain amount of tape on your fist. New York may not. Vegas might require certain blood tests and certain things. Texas may not. You see what I'm saying? So in those national organizations, Cincinnati Bengals gonna have to apply the same, gonna have to go by the same rules that the champion, whoever, the Atlanta Falcons or Tom Brady and the whoever, they gotta follow those same rules. And boxing is not like that. So you can put a person like Anthony Peterson on the bench that's 38-1, and nobody will say anything. You know what I mean? Because like I said, it's not a national commission where you can cry out like a Colin Kaepernick, where it would be under one situation.
Uh-huh.
I may appeal to Kentucky, be like, look, they're not letting me fight. They be like, and so? I might go to D.C. and be like, they're not letting me fight. And so? It wouldn't make a difference. But that's how you can put somebody on a bench like that and nobody will hear your cry.
Wow.
I was just getting ready to say, you mentioned Gervonta, he shot you out all the time. So what can you learn from his situation too? Because he's looking at change in management. And obviously, he's been frustrated with some of his fights. He's trying to get even bigger fights than he's gotten already. He's an attraction. And you are as well. Like you just said, you're starting to get that notoriety. What can you learn from his situation? And how can y'all benefit each other?
Definitely. Just understand that you are the boss. There's nobody more in the boxing ring because you're putting your life on the line. No. Don't get me wrong. The managers, the promoters, and the advisors, they put their livelihood on the line, far as the time from their family and, you know, spending money and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. But we're talking about your health, bro. We're talking about climbing to an event that you could possibly not be yourself ever again. Now, I'm sitting here talking to y'all, bright-eyed and everything. All 9 of my senses clicking. It can be a disaster where I could never be able to do this again with y'all. You see what I'm saying? So why shouldn't I get the bigger piece of the pie, or why shouldn't I, wherever I say it should go? Nothing should matter. So I feel where he coming from, and I have a lot of conversations with Gervonta Tank Davis. When we don't call each other, we don't email each other, we don't inbox each other. When I see him in person, it's a whole different story. But definitely, I think that's a good move for him to get up from under Mayweather, because, of course, and it's no disrespect to Mayweather. Mayweather was about him. That's how he got 50-0. He wouldn't be 50-0 if it wasn't all about him. I'm not. This is a bad thing. This is a good thing in his case, because if it ain't about him, then how he get that 50-0 record? So I'm saying maybe if he let up a little bit and say, you know what, it ain't about me this time, he could have lost the fight.
True.
So and then say, it's not for Tank to be like, oh, man, you are about yourself. It's cool. I'm about myself now. GT, V, Javante Tank Davis promotional, have it. He want to spin it and roll with it. And he got the firepower. He got the celebrities. He got the whole recipe to be larger than Floyd. He could be a combination of Floyd and Tyson put together. He got the looks. He got the Tyson aura. He got that ferociousness.
Yeah.
Even he don't really do clown antics like my brother Adrian Broner to gather attention. It's that dangerous love affair that people fell in with that, like, right? Why they love Tyson so much, that knockout. Ain't nothing like that knockout. And he presenting that in good fashion. So like I said, he definitely got the recipe to either go neck and neck or exceed Mayweather's career.
Mm. All right, back to the blockbuster event, man. How can folks get tickets?
You can reach me at PetersonAnthony808 on Instagram, mm-hmm. or you can contact Evie. It's my sister Evelyn. She uh-huh. she do hairs very. She's very popular in the area,
uh-huh.
worldwide actually.
Uh-huh.
So you could just get tickets from us, and like we almost out. So hop on it. You know, hop on it.
I think also
we got ringside tickets. We got we got all type of tickets. So just let me know.
All right, sounds good. And also, I think I saw it's on Ticketmaster as well, right?
Yeah,
I'm on Ticketmaster.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, so I got another question. I mean, you again, you're. Well, I'll ask this question. How important for you at being like a DC boxing ambassador? Because you are one.
I mean, it's very important. That's why I feel like no fighter is never going to see me out of shape, flabby, or anything, because I feel like this is my costume. If you're gonna present yourself as a boxer, this is how you have to look. Can't be no, oh, I see you in Miami, or you got a rollover gut or anything. And that's not no diss to people with guts. That's what you do. That's what you do. But if you're going to be an athlete, you're going to mess with this boxing. It's gonna take years of your life trying to fluctuate that gut and no gut. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So by the time you're 31, 32, you won't be 37 like me right now with a teenager body. This won't happen. So staying in shape, and I learned this from Bernard. Bernard, you know, like I said, we don't talk, we don't converse on the phone, but every time we see each other, he always got something deep to tell me that I still use to this day. You know what I mean? And those are things that definitely, and what you're saying about me being this person for DC for professional boxing, I have to practice what I preach.
Of course.
You're never going to see me out here drunk in no bars, laid out, or fathering any kids and not taking care of them.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to see me in no clubs throwing money, and no diss to the people that do that. That's what they do.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But you're never going to see me doing none of these antics, and that's why it's kind of hard to sell me on a big scale, because like views, you're not really going to get a real a event from Peterson, whereas though something may happen at his event, whereas though I want to be there to say I did it.
Yeah.
I was there. You know, our people, our culture, we love events. That's why the Mayweather and Tyson was so big. It wasn't that they was going to go see them. It was the event.
Yeah.
Who's going to be there? I'm going to dress my best. My best outfit that I saved all year for, I'm going to wear it at this event, because this is where the Super Bowl is. This is where everybody's going to be. And something may happen, whereas though I can say, hey, I was part of history. I was there to see this event. So, and that's why I just signed Rick Ross, Freeway Ricky, because he's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere that I go or everywhere we go, it's like I see celebrities that I look up to. Look at him like, oh my god, Rick. And I'm like, man, this little Uncle Rick, man, he could make like, but is this just the way it go?
We got folks connected from the DMV with Rick Ross. We got Peterson, and we got Wale. Wale is connected to Rick Ross as well.
No. He not talking about the rapper.
He's talking about the real Rick Ross.
Let me rephrase that. Freeway Ricky.
Oh, the real
That's,
Ricky.
No, you
Ross.
Real. Oh, he said that. He said that. I picked that up.
Oh, my bad. No, yeah. I misheard. Yeah. I didn't. You the real Rick Ross. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me retract my statement.
Why else would he say like the celebrities come up to him? That was the rapper. Well, I'm not going to. Then of course celebrities
okay,
come up to
him because
he's a hip hop entertainer. But he's talking about the real dude, man.
The Ricky. The real Ricky.
One of the richest, the ninth richest hustler in the history of mankind. And a kid myself with no junior high, with a junior high school diploma, go all on the West Coast by myself and sign this man. You mean?
That's dope.
That's dope.
It is, gangsta, man.
Top notch, whatever you want to call it. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Not a person that toot my home, but come on, man. Like, that's something that you know, you can't say everybody do every day. You mean? And he took a liking to me as soon as we met. And it was like, it went from a 15-minute conversation. Hey, man, I'm just going to meet up with you. Say what's up. We met at the tennis court. Then it went from, hey, man, I like you. What you doing later on? You hungry? I could eat. Then it went from, hey, man, what you doing this weekend, man? I'm going to come pick you up and we're going to go out. And we went out. We had a ball, man. He told me he was getting into boxing. And I told him, like, look, I'm the perfect person right now. Like, he couldn't believe how old I was. He kept thinking I was like 22, 23. I'm like, nah, I'm showing my ID. Like, look, bro. I was 36 at the time, but he was like, man, like, I have to take care of myself. You know, so I don't do drugs. I don't drink. None of that wilds. No child support agency chasing me. No PO officer agency chasing me. None of that. Just like live a clean, sun-free life.
All right, bro. I ain't going to hold you, but everything you said, it just makes me think of just some things I've heard about you. And I just want to know how much your upbringing played a role into just who you are today.
Well, my upbringing played a big role in who I am today. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, it's funny you should say that. A lot of people always like, oh, man, that's, man, you and your brother, man, y'all had it rough. No, we didn't. We had it rough, but what child do you know would grow up without law, without saying, oh, you got to go to bed at this time, or you got to do this at this time? We was lawless. We had no rules. It was like we was living. And as a child, understood that we was broken, homeless, and all that. You're going to make the best of fun. Now, say if I was a grown man like now, being out there and doing what I had to go through as a child, then that's a problem. Then as a situation was like, damn, like, you know, you conscious of things. As a child, you don't really know what's going on because we wasn't the only ones. It was the neighborhood, kids in the neighborhood up on 1448 Park Road that was going through the same thing that we was going through. So it kind of looked like this was a common thing until we got older. And then I'm seeing now, like, why did I didn't feel like that when we was going through this, but now I feel like this, we got from this. It's like, now I'm seeing people telling me, like, yeah, you're not supposed to do this, y'all. And I'm like, well, damn, like, why do I feel so bad now? But when it was going down, it was like the sweetest thing in the world. Because in the process of that, we met my brother-in-law, Patrice Harris, who was in movies with Michael B. Jordan, who was a celebrity in boxing, who lays it down. He found out that my brother can box just by protecting me in the projects. So we didn't go through that. We wouldn't have probably never knew who Boog was and, you know, stuff like that. So it's an extraordinary story, man. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Nothing that happened in that situation, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Dope. That is dope. Yeah. So I do got one question before I let you go. For you, what is your Mount Rushmore of DMV boxers?
Say that one more time, please.
What is your Mount Rushmore of DMV boxers?
It's like with me, and I truly believe this is why I'm about to get all the things that I'm about to get. I love every last DMV fighter. I support every last DMV fighter. I study every last DMV fighter. I've been in there with every last DMV fighter that you can name that's been out from the 2000 class all the way to the 2020 class. You know what I mean? I just feel like DC, right now, we just don't have that thing that other people. I don't know if y'all watched the fight this weekend with Charlo.
Yeah, I've just missed it. I'm gonna rewatch it.
I watched that, Drake.
Yeah. I want y'all to pay attention to something, how healthy that man is in that ring. I have nothing to DC have the most skilled athletes, not only in boxing, but just period. We don't have that technology and the other stuff that of different cities have. Because we so much caught on trying to outshine another or trying to, like, crabs in a bucket. I know y'all heard that before. We don't have that bridge to fill that gap. And I feel like bringing Rick Ross in and other people in, that can break that bridge to LA, that bridge to Texas, that bridge to places that we can get to all these DMV fighters can be of them, the best of themselves. I feel like right now, DC fighters can never be them best sales because we don't have that type of technology. I've been doing it for 18 years in the professional game. I know what it takes to get in tip-top shape to be at the tip-top level. And no disrespect to none of the coaches or none of the fighters, I just don't see that we have that right now. You know, man, I feel like it's right there. We can get it, but we got to have the access to it and got to let that pride go and let that DC Mumbo Sauce, man, just go put your hands up and just go fight. Now we have to be strategically smart about the whole situation. And I think with that, DC will go to a level that you've never seen before.
So you think it's like stubbornness then? Stubbornness?
Yeah, ways, like, you know, we stuck in ways, like, and let me ask y'all this question before I go.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all ever heard the phrase, and this is how stubborn we are as humans, as athletes and everything. You ever heard the phrase, it's 90% mental, 10% physical.
Yeah. Gary Russell say that all the time.
All
right, okay, that's true, okay? Mm-hmm. If this is so, how come us athletes, Gary or whomever, we spend 90% on the physical and only 10% on the mental? Why can't we spend 90% on the mental if it's 90% mental and 10% physical? When have you ever seen a big gym consistently? You go into a gym, you don't hear no heavy bag. You don't hear no sweat. They in there mentally together strategizing things that can happen or would not happen in the boxing ring. Tell me, where have you seen that consistently?
Never.
But every time you go into a gym, you're going to see somebody's brutally beating the shit out of a bag, sparring hard, jumping over tanks and stopping missiles and everything. Physical work. But it's really nobody's really putting in the mental work. And like I said, if it's 90% mental and 10% physical, then what are we doing here? So that's how we are holding on to these sayings. So, oh yeah, this person this person that. It's just the same, you know what I mean? And I truly believe once we break out of that, I don't think nobody, Philly is the closest that can deal with DC skill level as far as the natural talent that walk the streets in boxing. I think Philly the only city out there that can kind of hang with us when it comes to that. But as far as health and championship, West Coast and down south, they got it. That's
what I'm sure.
You always gonna hear a fighter say, "Yeah, I went over to Cali, and you know, where did LeBron James go to go get his ring? Where did Kevin Durant go to go get his ring? Where did Adrian Broner go to go get in shape? Where did Tank go? Floyd Mayweather was from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Where did he have to go get that elite type of stuff? Vegas. Sean Porter's from where? He's from Akron, Ohio. Where did he have to go? To Vegas.
Vegas.
You're never going to shut up shop on the East Coast, stay on the East Coast, and be that fine-tuned machine come fight night on the East Coast. It's not going to happen. Show me. Just, if I'm wrong, just show me. Danny Garcia did the best he can do for what he had. But if you look at it, the history of it, everybody always flare to the West Coast, and they always come up. But if you, it's almost like you stay here. It's like you got a ceiling. You can go far, but it's the ceiling. The monument, probably you can name build the highest building, but it still has a limit. But when it's the sky, it's no limit.
That's true. Yeah.
You just got me thinking. I ain't gonna lie. I'm stuck. I'm trying to think of maybe somebody
yeah,
who
help me.
Maybe exhibits that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, I can't even think. But just to rephrase it, Gary don't say that. In particular, he say something like boxing is a physical something that manifests. Or I forgot what he say. It's not that exact thing. I just don't want, you know what I'm saying, sell him short, because he don't necessarily say that exact thing. But I know where you're coming from. But I'm thinking, like, how does that change happen? Like, I don't know. That's another discussion, though, bro. We appreciate you joining us, man. We got to get you back, man. Part two. Maybe bring two.
We got to get part two, man, because he has me thinking. No, no, real. Because you're right, though, because I think about the chart, like Charlo, they got a wild way of training. You're right. Not wild, but technology. Like, I even saw how even the younger Charlo, how he improved his boxing game because they went to more of a technology-based training rather than what the normal boxing, you know, way of training. Like, they do a deeper way of training. That is true.
Right. But you think about it, though, real quick. If you look at Texas and sports like high school football, it's the same thing. High school football here don't compare to what high school football look like in places like Texas and other states. and down south. They look like they got many stadiums. DC working on it now. You seen Gonzaga Field and some others. You know what I'm saying? They've now invested some money, but it's an investment. I agree with that.
Facts.
No doubt.
Well, Anthony, man, we enjoy having you on, man. Is anything you want to like to add? Anything you want to plug? You know, some social media, Instagram, whatever. You got this is your platform, bro.
Peterson Anthony 808. Follow me. I have so many messages I have for the young black youth, man. It's staggering because, you know, that's a whole nother story, but just follow me. And, I ain't gonna let you down,
man. Appreciate you being on, man. This has been dope. Like Ray said, we love to get you on part two.
I had to hit you back up, man. We hit you on Instagram.
Y'all got access to me. Just reach out. Y'all know how to find me.
All right, bet. Will do, man.
All right, y'all appreciate you, bro. Man.
All right. That was dope, man. Lightweight. Anthony Peterson, man. Knowledge is power. That's all I got to say. And make sure you check out, you know, it's a Beltway Battles round two. You know what I'm saying? May 28th. It goes down. So make sure you check it out, man. It's just, he was dope, though. Anthony was one of the real ones. You ain't learned nothing from that conversation, man. I don't know what's going to happen for you. But again, Saturday, May 28th at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Washington, D.C. Tune in. Be there, bro. Be there. It's real out there. It's going to be entertaining. And Anthony already told y'all he about to put on a show, so you know what time it is. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyre Media, at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows as well as other great content. All right, man, this has been a dope show. Man, we had a good time. We did a darn thing, man. Anthony came on. You were having my man Trey. You had the homie, you know, my hand. You have the homie Swill, you know, from Spare. It was from Spare Room, Sesh Podcast. Came in, got Will T. cursing. You already know what time it is. So it was a dope show. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. I knew I wanted to say. Oh, I know. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yiddy deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.